Remember those baptismal certificates that hung on your grandparents' wall? Beautiful. They had the baptism of Jesus and other images and their name. It was always a constant reminder of the gift that the Lord Jesus gave them in their baptism. Well, we have a new version of that. If you visit wolfsoncreative.com, you can see the baptismal certificates there. They're available electronically for congregations to print as many as you want, or individually, paper copies for families to hang on the wall and treasure the Lord's gift of baptism. The website is wolfsoncreative.com. And with each purchase, Issues Etc. gets a portion of the proceeds to carry on their work. Thanks for visiting wolfsoncreative.com.
Let us begin by honoring the eastern door from where we get visions and guidance.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God.
From the southern door where we get the energies of the family.
The holy place where the Most High dwells.
From the western door, please let us honor the sacred ancestors.
God is within her. She will not fall.
From the northern door where we receive challenges and the strength to meet those challenges.
God will help her at break of day.
From Father Sky, where we get the masculine energy. From Mother Earth, where we get the feminine energy. O Creator, may the two energies come together in our center, where the Creator exists, for each of us has a piece of the Creator.
Two very different religious voices from one service, last night's memorial service, Together We Thrive, Tucson and America, meant to be a celebration of remembrance of those who were wounded and killed in the Tucson shooting this last week. A very interesting combination of, well, political pep rally, photo op, and strange religious mixture going on there at the same time. How do we make sense of it? My wife tuned in and she said, I couldn't tell what they were doing. There were lots of hooping and hollering, but it was supposed to be a memorial service. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Alvin Schmidt joins us to explain to us what was going on and explain the role of American civil religion in last night's memorial service, Together We Thrive, Tucson and America. After that, Alan Cooperman joins us from the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. We'll talk about the religious composition of the 112th Congress. Not many changes, but a few that we will note. And then I want to hear from you. How important is your congressman's or senator's religious affiliation? How important is that to you? It'll be open lines in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at @IssuesETC, or visit our Facebook fan page and leave your answer to the question, how important is your congressman's or senator's religious affiliation to you? Facebook.com/IssuesETC, Facebook.com/IssuesETC. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College, and he's author of a chapter in the book, The Anonymous God, The Church Confronts Civil Religion and American Society. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back.
Well, thank you.
What we witnessed last night in Tucson really a perfect example of American civil religion on display?
Oh, sure, very much so. I know civil religion is an old concept. It goes back to the 1762, to be exact, when Jean Rousseau, the Frenchman, wrote his book, The Social Contract, in which he discusses it. But the phenomenon itself is even older than that. You can even go back to the Romans and the Greeks who practiced it. But I would say that the American society, we in this country have done it better, by better, I mean more civil religious-oriented than Rousseau even thought about. And it's so common that we don't even seem to realize it. You might say that civil religion is a religion in general without any specifics. And you saw that very clearly portrayed yesterday. Almost in every speaker, if not everyone, there was nothing specific. If you mention anything specific about, for example, pertaining to Christianity, that would not be permitted because civil religion does not tolerate that. And that all the way goes back again to Rousseau and others. And, you know, we have civil religious phenomenon outside of last night's gathering. We have it very often portrayed on a Memorial Day, when we in a city or in a town gather on a platform and we have various religious and whatnot all, and we go up and make comments about people who having died in a sort of almost a religious sense for the welfare of our country. We have it on the 4th of July. We have it to some extent in our Thanksgiving celebrations. When we have it also when we venerate past political leaders and see, for example, them almost as saints. We do this a great deal, I say, in the United States. When you have religious leaders with political leaders participating, and invariably, what do you have? A religion in general without any specifics, and where the nation is honored. Civil religion is often a kind of a social cement that is supposed to bind people together, and that was very evident last night. It was another example of binding people together. By the way, if I may say, it was not a memorial service. It was a memorial pep rally. And I'm not the first one to have noted that. I've heard some commentators say that, but that's what I said when my wife and I were watching it. So even with the very beginning of the American Indian, you know, I don't know if I couldn't hear it all, whether he was introduced as a medicine man or a shaman, but that's really what he was. And you really had in his comments paganism. It was a not only religion in general, but he invoked things that would have made the Romans and the Greeks before the birth of Christ very comfortable. And very often we don't recognize it either. We don't recognize it in the 4th of July in church services. Sing, for example, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. When you look at the hymn, it has nothing to do with Christianity, but it has everything to do with civil religion.
Now, I want to talk about that mixing of I guess the most we could say here was kind of semi-quasi-Christian concepts, a little of Christian scripture, Old and New Testament, with that pagan beginning of the Native American. I think he was a university professor, but also somehow trained with special religious training. So he was doing this mm-hmm. blessing, as he called it.
Mm-hmm.
Is the mixing of contradictory religions part and parcel of American civil religion?
Yes. It is part and parcel, not just American civil religion, but civil religion in every other country. But for the most part, Americans, I think, have made more of civil religion and made it more visible and more of the American psyche, if I may mention that, than most other countries. I've been studying this phenomenon for the last 30, 40 years, and I think it's pretty safe to say what I just said.
Now, some Christians would be very comfortable with American civil religion in the past because there seemed to have been less, at least in the American context, less of the admixture of different religions than there is today. What are your thoughts there, Dr. Schmidt?
Well, yes, I think our people are comfortable. For example, after 9/11, a couple of days later, we gathered in the National Cathedral relative to what transpired. It was another example of perfect example of civil religion at play. And in every instance, for example, you may have a scripture reading, but you'll have another scripture reading maybe from some other religion that's outside of the pale of Christianity or outside of the pale of the Old Testament. But anything distinctive about Christianity will, as a rule, not be found. And, you know, it's present in other aspects of our life. And as I'm saying this, I may surprise some people. I don't want to offend anybody. But the fact that we have on almost every Lutheran church a flag along with a Christian flag is an example of civil religion. The early Christians would never have done that. And it wasn't done, by the way, it still isn't done in most European countries. But it's done very much in the American context. I understand they do some of it in Canada now. But that is civil religion again. And you see it in another context. When you drive onto a Christian college or seminary campus, you may see a national flag, but you don't see a Christian flag, which again indicates that we ascribe more religious values and meanings to a national symbol rather than a religious, in our case, a Christian symbol like a Christian flag.
Some might have watched last night's event and said, okay, this was just, you said a pep rally. It was a political rally. And what are you going to get when you have a Democratic president and a Democratic congressman has fallen, at least been wounded, and largely an event dominated by kind of the Democratic establishment there? Do only Democrats practice civil religion?
I beg your pardon?
Do only those of the Democrat Party practice civil religion?
Oh, no. The Republicans are as bad at it as the Democrats. And, you know, as I said, you see it in civic communities, for example, on Memorial Day, on the 4th of July. You see it at Thanksgiving time. And you see it very often even in Christian publications. They're not even aware of what they are promoting or talking about. I have a clipping here that I pull out of my file that was written by a very prominent layman in the LCMS back in 1982. I will not name the name. The man is no longer living with us. But I'll just read you a couple of stanzas that was published in a very noteworthy paper. He says, "There is a great country known throughout the earth. It was founded in righteousness, freedom, and worth. They call it a paradise, a land of the free, where peace-loving people in faith all agree." You can already see the civil religion coming up. I can't read all seven stanzas because of time, but let me read another one. "By worldly opinion, do we have a flag? The ungodly nations think and treat it like a slag. They treat it, they tear it to pieces and smear it with dirt and trample on it and like an old dirty shirt. So God help those that design both flag and a name, providing them dignity, honor, and fame. Through wars and through famine, their flag is now flown to prove the world that this land is their own."
About 15 seconds to kind of sum up your thoughts there, Dr. Schmidt.
Okay. "In spite of the treatment, we still have our God, our Christ. He invokes Christ, but you see, that's where he departs from civil religion. But basically, the whole thing is a civil religious kind of thing where you equate the American national symbols with Christian religious symbols."
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College, author of a chapter in the book, The Anonymous God, The Church Confronts Civil Religion and American Society. You can read an excerpt from The Anonymous God under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Anonymous God by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Schmidt, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
When we come back, we'll talk about the religious composition of the 112th Congress. Alan Cooperman of the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life will be our guest. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Well, I think that's a very good question.
Check out our new YouTube video, Good Question, issuesetc.org, and click support. Good questions, better answers, Issues Etc. Watch the short YouTube video, Good Question, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Well, you know, that's a good question.
That's a very good question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
No, that's a good question.